Praise the Lord. Well, Steve asked me to speak on Romans 6, so I guess I am part of a series here. If you want to bring up Romans 6 here, I think it might be good if we read it, huh? It says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For we have been united with him in death like this. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer be slaves to sin. For no one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin reign in your body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought back from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are no longer under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the teaching to which you have committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting from that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, I guess the real question is, how many of us in this room really feel free from sin? Wow. Tough one. This chapter makes basically two points. And the first point it makes is that we have died with Christ, which means we are now dead to sin. And the second point is that we have been raised with Christ, which means we are now alive to Christ. That's what all these scriptures are saying. This is really one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible, because this tells us what happened to us when we got born again. And if we don't understand this chapter, then we will never be able to live a successful Christian life. We will never change very much. We will struggle our whole lives with doubting God's love. And we will probably spend a lot of our time being discouraged because we're not seeing the fruit that we would like to see. When we read the scriptures and then we look at our lives, the disparity is so huge that it can make us discouraged. One of the ways we can talk about being dead to sin and alive to God is that it's like living in another country. We have many immigrants come to this country. I am an immigrant who have become a British citizen now. So I am part of the United Kingdom, but I came from the United States. Now, when I came from the United States into United Kingdom, I had to learn how to live in a different country. I had to learn how to drive the way you drive. Otherwise, it would have been a disaster. I had to learn how to actually form relationships, because the way you form relationships is different than the way the Americans form relationships. In America, everybody's happy and everybody's friendly, just like that. Not here. It takes time. Everybody's like, what do you want? It's different, isn't it? I had to learn a different language. Even though I kept my accent, I still use a lot of your words. I had to learn your laws, your policies on how to conduct business, how to run a charity. Many, many things I had to learn. Now, if, like many immigrants, what they do when they come into this country is they keep their old culture, do they not? And they try to live here the same way they live there. And so they do not integrate into society. Isn't that one of the problems that all the politicians are talking about all the time? It just came up in the media again, didn't it not, with this horrendous killing. So it's the same thing with us. We were sinners, and we knew how to sin. We were good at it. It was natural. Didn't take any effort at all to sin. Now we have come into the kingdom of righteousness. So now we have to learn how to live in this kingdom of righteousness. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, if I continue to live as I lived over here in the kingdom of light, I will never be a successful Christian. So I have to figure out, okay, what happened to me when I got born again, and how am I ever going to live this new life? I am now dead to this old way of doing things, and I'm now alive to this new kingdom I'm in. But if I bring the old into the new, I'm going to have a lot of problems, because you're going to constantly keep tripping over ourselves by not really living in the new life. So I need a new mindset. I'm living in a new kingdom. I need a new way of doing things, a new language. I used to be over here. I was a complainer. I complained about the weather and the government all the time. But as a Christian, I don't do that anymore. Oh, you see? It's a new mindset. Christians are praisers. Christians are giving thanks in everything. See, that's the difference. We are in a different kingdom. We have a new language now. But am I living in the new kingdom as a new person, the new way, or am I still bringing my old habits into it? That's what Romans chapter 6 is all about. And what it's talking about. So in order to live successfully in the kingdom of God, we actually have to believe we're in a new kingdom. Now, you can go to various parts of, like Harlow. Have you been to Harlow? It's like being, for us, it's like being back in Pakistan. It's incredible. They even use rupees there. You can use different money there. It's like being in another country. They have created their own country in that area. So they imported their laws, they imported their customs, they imported their restaurants, their stores, everything is the same. It's like being in another country. So they haven't successfully, you see, they're not really living in a new country as of yet. A lot of Christians do the same thing. They're not really living as new Christians. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. Not going to be, could be, might be, should be, you are. Old things have passed away. Well, what are those old things that have passed away? Well, my old attitudes, the old language I used to have, the old way of doing things, of sinning and lying and cheating and thinking of myself, because I'm so important, but over here, now it's all about everybody else. Isn't that true? You see, it's a whole different way of doing things. Something old has passed away. Something new has come into it. I have to figure out what this new thing is. In Ephesians chapter 4, Let's see, 4:22, I believe. He says to us, Paul says, put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul is talking about putting off and putting on. And it's something we have to do in our own lives. So if we go to Romans, if you go back to Romans up here, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, let's begin to just take a look at, okay, what happened when we died and what happened when we are alive. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Okay, that's 2. There's one. Okay. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? And 2 is, there we are. We died to sin. Now notice the phrase, we died to sin. It doesn't say that sin died. It says we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So in other words, when we got born again, we are spirit, soul, and body. And we all have this nature. It's called the human nature within us that we received from our parents. And our parents got it from their parents, and their parents eventually got it from Adam and Eve. And that nature is the sin nature. The sin nature is what motivates us to sin. It's the drive that causes us to sin. Adam and Eve did not have a sin nature, so they weren't driven to sin. They were tempted into it. See the difference? Now, we got this thing in us that wants to sin. That's why it's easy to sin. And it's easy. If you want to see the sin nature, just drive. Go for a drive, and you'll realize how selfish people are, right? To get ahead of you, just to get 2 seconds ahead of you, they'll endanger your life. Just to be 2 seconds ahead, they'll cut in front of you and actually endanger you. I think that's pretty incredible. That they're actually thinking, I don't care if you die in this accident, I'm going to get ahead of you. Wow, that's selfish. And all of us encounter that all the time, do we not? Talk to a biker, someone who rides bicycles on the road. Wow, that's deadly in this nation. So this, you see, this, we died to that. This thing in us that wants us to sin, Jesus says he died for us. Now, the wonderful thing what Jesus did on the cross is Jesus not only paid the price for all of our sins, S-I-N-S, those are the things we do. He paid for all of our sins. He did that. But then he also crucified the thing that causes us to sin, and that's called the old man, the sin nature, the old self. They all mean that it's called the flesh. All of those things mean the same thing. Now that's the real work he did on the cross. Because he didn't want to just gloss over us and say, okay, everything you did is okay. He also wanted to fix us so we wouldn't go on sinning. So that thing inside you, the sin nature, that motivates and drives people, the thing we read on the front pages of our newspaper every day, that's the sin nature. Okay? That's what Jesus crucified. That's what he killed. That's what he buried in the grave. And then when he rose up from the dead, he gave us new life. He gave us a new nature. We had a sin nature, now we have God's nature. So now we have received something we never had before. Now people out there that don't know Jesus, they have a sin nature, but they don't have new life in Christ. They don't have God's nature. So they don't have a new force, a new motivation within them to do right. That's why it's crazy for us to think that sinners should think like us or expect them to do what we would do. They're not going to do that. They're sinners, so they're going to sin. That's what they do by nature. You see. So Jesus came to deal with the real problem I'm going to crucify this thing. So he went for the jugular vein. He went to kill this sin nature that causes man to sin, which is the wonder. This is the real wonder of salvation. And then we have Romans 6, 3, and 4. If you want to bring that up there, is great verses. It says here, or don't you know? Good question. Don't you know? What? What are we supposed to know? That all of us who were baptized in the Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Okay, he wants us to know that. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So we have to know that we have really died, that our sin nature, this old man, this selfishness within us, has really died with Christ. That's what he wants us to know. And then we have to really know that we have been raised with a new life that is not selfish, but is now an unselfish life within us. That's what happened when you got born again. That's the transformation that takes place. But many times we don't understand it, so we actually don't know. We still think we're kind of the same people. We see that we haven't actually changed all that much, and we still have some of the same habits. We still might lose this our temper. We might still be prideful. We might still be doing that. Oh, I did that 10 years ago. I've been saved for 10 years. It can get discouraging, can't it? And we repent 3,000 times. Well, you'll probably be doing it for another 3,000. What really makes a transformation is when we know. And that word know means the same thing as believe. When we really know, then this actually becomes truth to us. Otherwise, it's just kind of nice theology up there, or complicated theology of what's happening in our life. So this old way of living, we died to it, remember? So he didn't actually take this nature out of you. But by his work, what he's done, by putting a new life in you, he has eclipsed the old nature. Now, some theologians say that God actually eradicated it. I can't see any proof for that. Really. Having pastored three churches, Christians can be really selfish. Isn't that true? Some of our biggest problems as Christians is with Christians. So if they didn't have a sin nature, I don't know where they're getting that. Because they have some major problems. So there's still, you see, the difference now as a Christian is I can choose to either obey the new nature or I can choose to obey the old nature. As a sinner, I didn't have that choice. I only had the old man. See how it works? So now, what God does is he somehow eclipses this old nature. He puts it into a coma. We are dead to it. I died to sin. It's the same kind of thing like a husband, you know, when the wife is talking and she says, "Are you listening to me?" He has turned a deaf ear to her. He has practiced it and he has developed the art of not hearing her. That's what we need to do. We need to develop a deaf ear to the sin nature. We need to develop a deaf ear to that selfishness, that old man. Understand what I'm saying? That's what it means to be dead to it and alive to God. What does that mean? I'm listening to God. A lot of Christians have turned their deaf ear to God in the situation. So we come to 6:5 now. Romans 6:5. And there's some key words in this next verse here. It says, for if we have been united with him like this in his death, united, that means what happened to Jesus happened to us. We will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So he's saying the same thing again. See, we died like him, we were raised like him. Do we know that? For we know, there's the phrase again, that the old self, the old man, the sin nature, the flesh, all means the same thing, was crucified with him
so that the body of sin, the body of sin means the sin nature, it means the flesh. Again, it's just another phrase or another word for saying the same thing. So sometimes it gets confusing. So that our sin nature might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. There it is. How do we become slaves to our old man? By listening to it and obeying it. Just that simple. Whoever you obey, remember at the end of the chapter we read, we become slaves too. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, how many of men here believe that you have been freed from sin? You're like this, aren't you? It's like, I'm going to hedge my bet. I think I am. I should be. I should know I am, but man, my experience tells me everything but. The reason it's difficult to go, yes, like this, to say amen, because number one, our spouse would know we're lying. No, the reason it's so hard to be so confident that we're freed from sin is because we're thinking of our sins. We're not thinking of the sin nature. That's referring to sin nature. It's not referring to sins you commit. And when we commit a sin, we think, oh, we're not free. You see, we begin to doubt that we're really, you know, lovers of God. You see how that works? And it causes us to actually doubt what Jesus did for us when we got born again. So we do not want to confuse the fact we are dead to sin nature. But that doesn't mean we're never going to sin in our life. I've done this before. Oh! So I ask you, am I a dog? Don't answer me. I can see those looks on your face. I'm not a dog, but I can act like a dog. Have you ever heard the expression, oh, that person's an animal? You've heard that? Why would we say that? Because they're crazy, right? They're wild. You see, we can act like a sinner, but it doesn't make you a sinner any more than when a sinner acts like a Christian makes them a Christian. That's why this is true regardless of your behavior. That's what trips us up. We judge ourselves by our behavior rather than by the word of God. God says, I'm free from my sin nature and I have a new nature. I am righteous. I am holy. I am pure in Jesus Christ. And then when we sin, it's like, oh, I'm worthless. I'm no good. We throw that all out. You see, we stop actually believing that we are new creations. That's the battle, you see. That's why I said this chapter is so important and why Paul says, do you know? Do you actually believe this is true? Because as long as you doubt this, it will be easier for you to sin. Because you'll be thinking, oh, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I'm just a terrible Christian, I'm never going to be. Well, you're just fodder for the devil with those kind of thoughts and doubts and fears. That's how it works. It's like the same thing. When somebody has a low self-esteem, well, they're going to get it taken advantage of. They're going to feel rejected all the time, even though nobody's actually rejecting them. See how that works? So it's by knowing this that enables us to not sin. That's why this is really incredibly important. Where there's somebody we ministered with many, many years ago, and he was, you know, he got saved when he was like 3 years old. So he never went wild. He never, you know, did the teenager thing. He never did the rebellion. He was a good person his whole life. So he didn't have what you would call a great testimony from that. You know what I'm saying? When we see somebody who really went off the rails and comes back to God, it's like, wow. But somebody who lived a great life their whole life, is, oh, wow, boring. When it's actually the better testimony, isn't it? But it doesn't impress us. So this guy, he didn't do anything wrong. He was just a great kid, got saved, and God kept him. And so he was going on television, and he was going to give his testimony. He's like, what am I going to say? I didn't do any. I didn't do drugs. I didn't sleep around. I didn't even swear. I didn't smoke. I didn't do anything wrong. What am I going to say? And then it came to him. And so he got on there, and he was being interviewed and said, yeah, he says, I had something quite amazing happen to me. You may not know this, but I actually died. And then they actually buried me. And then I came out of the grave, and the announcer was just sitting on the edge of their seat like, what? When did this happen? When I got born again. I died with Christ. Isn't that amazing? See, he actually believed it. He made the testimony of Christ his. That's why Paul says that you need to preach my gospel. Wow! Paul called the gospel my gospel because he so identified with Christ that he made the testimony of Christ his testimony. I actually died with Christ. I was crucified. I died. I was buried. I was resurrected. It's my gospel. Wow. You see, that's knowing. This is what happened to me. And until we know this, we will continually be entrapped with thinking that we actually have to sin. We will start acting in the old way, like we're living in the old kingdom of what is happening here. So Paul is saying here, we are free from the old life, from the old self of what's taking place. And so you can declare with all confidence that anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Okay, how many in this room are free from sin? Oh, yes! Oh, what a bunch of brave souls! Wow. Now, you need to declare that and believe it. So when your flesh or the devil comes along to tempt you to act the old way, it's, I'm dead, I'm free from sin. That's my new confession. Wow. So when you're having an argument with your spouse, you can't get me arguing, I'm free from sin. That will end the conversation. Sin nature, you see? The sin nature. And so we come down to Romans chapter 6, verse 8. And it says here, somewhere up there, now if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. This is really the key phrase. How do we live a victorious Christian life? How do we live a life that overcomes sin, the devil, and our flesh? All these incredible scriptures that we have in the Bible, how do we actually live them? Well, I'm glad you asked. The way you go from a carnal Christian, someone who is still being motivated and basically obeying your old nature, to becoming a spiritual Christian is by believing this. The only way that the Bible becomes reality to us in our everyday life is if we believe it. Nothing else will do it. Nothing else. It's a faith issue. How did you go from being a sinner to a saint? How did you do that? By faith, right? The moment you believed, you were transformed in a moment of time. Now, the problem is we're Christians, but we still have this sin nature, and very often we still have the same attitudes and problems, and we're doing these kind of things. How do we go to someone who's living a victorious Christian life? How do we move into personal revival? How do we become mature? Whatever phrase, how do we enter into the rest? Whatever phrase you want to use in the Bible. How do you do that? By believing that I am a new creation. That is what I have to believe it. Once I believe it, that's what empowers me to live it.
Too often we try to live it without being empowered. That's called religion. And you're going to fail. How many times have you, you know how we all have these sins that are repetitive in our life? Like for me, I'm impatient when I drive. And many times I get, okay, God, I'm not going to be impatient this time. You know, I'll say it to myself. I'll remind myself 3 seconds later, what are you doing in the road? You trying to die on me? And I'll just say it. It just comes right out of that. Beast comes right out of me when I'm driving. And I've been doing that for 25 years, repenting every time I drive. Well, I'm no different than you. You're doing the same thing with something else. You know, for me, it's patience. For you, it could be anger. For you, it could be an attitude. It could be all kinds of things. It could be a negativity, a skepticism. Who knows? We all have our thing done. It's just amazing. Now, you see, even though that happens to me, you know what I do after I do that? I ask God to forgive me, and I say, thank you, God, that I'm free from sin. I reinforce that. Because I'm not going to let the devil trick me into thinking I'm less than what I am just because I did that. See how that works? Otherwise, you're just going to go down the toilet, aren't you? And then you get depressed, and then you get discouraged. Then it's going to take weeks for you to come back up. It's not worth the hassle. You got to catch it right away. How? By believing what you're actually saying. You're choosing. And so in chapter 6, verse 11, bring that up. I'm going to end with this. This says, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. That's how you do it. That's the how-to of living the victorious Christian life. I have to act as though it's true. Doesn't matter whether I feel like it. It doesn't matter if I think it. I'm going to act like I'm a new creation. I'm going to act like I'm a new person with a new life. I'm going to act like I'm righteous, whether I feel righteous or not. I'm going to act like I'm holy, whether I feel holy or not. That's what it means here. Count on it. Count on it. Believe it. Reckon it so. Just assume that it's true. I don't care what you're thinking. I don't care what you've known. That's how you do it. That's the practical way of living your faith out moment by moment. And we have to do this moment by moment. It's not a one-time thing. It's once you get the revelation and you actually believe it, you still have to believe it every day after that. I still have to practice it. Somebody was praying today and they said that your work is finished, God, in their prayer. And I thought to myself, wow, is that really true? And I thought, his work is finished in that he has accomplished everything, but Jesus now, what is he doing now? What is the work that he's doing now? Now he is helping us to receive everything he's done. That's the work of Christ, isn't it? He's got to reinforce the victory he's won, or else the enemy will come back and encroach. Isn't that true? When you take territory, you have to keep the territory. And so once we believe this, once we actually start practicing this and counting this to be true, now we have to accept it. The English walnut tree is one of the best walnut trees actually on the planet. They produce some of the sweetest walnuts in the world. American farmers who have almond groves, what they all do is they plant the American almond trees because they have really good root systems in them. And then they cut them off and they graft into it an English walnut tree. It grows up and it produces great walnut trees, walnuts. Now, you, any of you who are gardeners or spend any time out in the garden know that when you graft something in, you always get suckers that come up from the old tree, don't you? And what do you have to do with those suckers that come up? You have to constantly be cut them off every year, don't you? If you don't, the old suckers will grow up and engulf the English oak and it will become an American walnut tree again. So that's an analogy of the sin nature. We have to keep cutting those suckers off.
That's what Paul means by putting off. Okay, I lost my temper, but in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, and I'm going to act like a new man. You see that? Cut it off. You keep cutting it off. You keep repenting. You keep and say, okay, I'm just going to assume I'm a new creature. If you don't, you'll end up being the same old person you were before. It doesn't mean you've lost your salvation, but it just means you are a completely carnal Christian, and you are the most difficult person to deal with in the world because you don't know if you're in the new or the old. You're a real problem. Those are the people that give churches all their problems, are carnal people. Absolutely true. They're divisive. They're cantankerous. They're negative. They question everything. They're selfish. Because why? It's the old man. It's the old nature coming through. And unfortunately, you know, we'd like to cut those suckers off of people like that. We can't do it, can we? You know, I'd like to be able to take my will and just put it right into my kids so they obeyed me. I can't do that. I have to beat it into them. Parenting is keeping those suckers off of our children so they can grow to become like Christ. That's what our job is, to be diligent. But you'll never cut those suckers off from the old man if you don't even know the difference between the old and the new. If you don't actually believe you are a new person. So our job as Christians, the reason you come to church is you're learning how to live in the new kingdom. I have to learn how to think differently now. I have to learn how to talk differently now. I have to learn how to behave differently now. I have to learn how to have different attitudes. See, I'm learning how to do that week after week after week. That's what those kids are learning up there. Hopefully, you see? That's what this is all about. So we can live in a new kingdom. Amen.